Okay. There are two statements in this mission that sound like they're almost the same. And they're difficult to understand. The second one is difficult to understand inherently. Let's take a look. It says, Kol she'yiras cheto kodemis l'chachmaso, chachmaso miskayemis. If his fear of sin precedes his wisdom, then his wisdom will be established. It means he'll remain with his wisdom. V'chol she'chachmaso kodemis l'yiras cheto, ain chachmaso miskayemis. However, if his wisdom precedes his fear of sin, then his wisdom will not remain. His wisdom will not remain. What does it mean? There's two interpretations. The Rambam explains it in the way as an application, as a statement, which is basically what the something that the philosophers have mentioned. He says, "Hine davaz muskim olav me'afilosofim." He says the philosophers also agree with this statement of Chazal, which is Shehergo Hamilos, that the Hergo Hamilos means a person being used to perfection, the person being a rugil, it means a person that is that lives, is used to living in accordance with perfection. Kikshayikodem l'chachma, when it precedes knowledge, until it's firmly established. Alright. Afterwards he learns the wisdom, he studies the wisdom, which really lead him to this good. Yosef Simchov Aval Bachma Bacharitzis. Lahosef Mimeno Achashet Arehu. It means to say like this, that if a person was used to living a virtuous life, a life of virtue. Right, he means midos. Then, when he gains knowledge of that life of virtue which he was used to leading before, he will be extremely happy, and it'll give him an extra push to live the life, that life of virtue. All right. However, if a person first learns about virtue through knowledge, and then what happens is, however, before that time he did not have a life of virtue, so what happens is that the chachma, the knowledge, will prevent him from doing the things that he is used to doing, which is living a non-virtuous life. He says then the wisdom will become very difficult for him, and he's going to leave it. That's what he says. That's the way the Rambam explains it. But what I want to understand is, what is the use of the word chachma here? What is the use of the word chachma here? What does chachma mean? Knowledge? Mean the enjoyment of knowledge? If a person enjoys knowledge, let's say a person enjoys mathematics. So you're going to tell me that he's going to leave the math because he can't live a virtuous life? Why should he leave the chachma? Because he can't lead a virtuous life. And chachma is a separate thing. The man can still enjoy chachma. So what if he can't control his passions? But why is it necessary for him to leave the life of chachma? That's what we have to understand this now. Chachma is knowledge is separate from it is a different phenomenon. It would seem that what they're saying is he's doomed from the start because he wasn't raised in a way of virtue. Strange memory. Chazal say, how many times Chazal mentioned that people who were Rishoyim, wicked people, changed over to tshuva in one day? The Shlokish was a horse thief, jumped over the Yarden, then he accepted Torah, became one of the greatest Amoraim. And what happened to the... What are you going to tell me? That he was a temperate... He was a virtuous horse thief before. Difficult to understand his memory. What does it mean?
Maybe saying like the...
It seems that you could say that the member is only speaking in a general way. In general, it's better, but not necessarily does it have to be that way. But from the language of the Rambam, the Rambam says that Ukishiyadimo kinyone adeos, if first he gains knowledge, and then afterwards, Ukishiyadimo kinyone adeos v'achakach yilmad, and then he learns, that tehiya chachma manasas amimash yisavah behergo, tichbar lava chachma v'yanichena. I mean, it seems to be, from the Lashon Rambam, it seems to be that this is a rule. That's another question. Why is the area of ethics okay? But what about the other areas? Yes. So let's take the first question. One question is a little bit easier to answer. One question was that why should it affect the person? If a person enjoys chokhmah, he enjoys physics, he enjoys mathematics. So why should it affect him if he's not so virtuous? So what? Why should it affect his? See, with regard to this, Chazal had an interesting theory. Chazal maintained that there is a certain phenomena of love of chachma, which is all embracing. In other words, a person can enjoy various things. A person can enjoy, crossword puzzles, he can enjoy doing different activities, but there are different types of activities. Essentially, there are two types of activities. There are activities which a person does because a certain part of his makeup enjoys it, and then there are activities which a person does because his essence enjoys it. He's essentially related to it. That's a different kind of an activity. You'll see this among most people, even though it doesn't involve chokhmah. Like you see a person who's a sports enthusiast. You'll see it talked about various areas. He does many things during the day, but you'll see when he talks in that area, his whole face lights up. His whole psyche becomes alive. There is such a thing as an essential relationship to an area. And a person who has an essential relationship to an area, when you hit upon his area, his whole essence is moved. He says, then there are other activities that a person does. They're simply activities. A person is involved in many things. He has to take care of many things and many parts of a person. But there's a part of an individual which is the core, the nucleus of his operation. And that part of him, you see, can only be related to one thing. Now, Chazal held that deep down there is this one thing that it could be related to is either the world of Chokhmah or else the world of Taiva, essentially. See? Essentially. Has to break down to that to one of those two components. And if a person is related to the world of Taiva in an essential way, it's true he can enjoy Chachma. He can maybe enjoy some mathematics, as he may be able to enjoy some ideas. But that's not really called Chachmaso Meskayemus. Chachmaso Meskayemus means where his essential nature loves Chachma, is essentially involved in Chachma, is related to the world of Chachma in an essential way. Means he's moved by it. That's part of his nature. That's Chachmas HaMeskayemes. Now what Chazal maintained is like this, that in order for a person to love the world of Chachma, he can't just love a part of it. That's not an essential love. A person likes math. That's a part of the world of Chachma. But the whole gamut of Chachma, to be in love with Chachma means that the person has to be in love with the whole realm of Chachma. Chachma per se. But Chachma per se doesn't just express itself in mathematics. Chachma per se expresses itself in the way a person lives, expresses itself in every area, in every bit of knowledge, in ethics, and in the world of metaphysics. And the world of physics, and the world of math, and every all around, there's a totality. If a person loves Chachma per se, he must love every expression of Chachma. And if a person feels harbors resentment against Chochmah in one area, in a certain area, it's impossible for him to really be a lover of Chochmah. An impossibility. And since he can't really love Chochmah, so then we have to say, then it's, that's called Ein Chochmah Sam Eskayemus. Ein Chochmah Sam Eskayemus means it's something which is a side, an avocation with him. It's a side preoccupation, side occupation. Side occupation. Side occupation is not called Chochmah Sam Eskayemus. Chochmah Sam Eskayemus means where the Chochmah is, where he's essentially, he loves Chochmah in an essential way. If you love Chochmah in an essential way, he can't be prejudiced towards the part of Chochmah that that expresses itself in the area of ethics as well, because Chochmah Hashem is all around, expresses itself in every area of life. And if you're prejudiced about it, that means that you don't essentially love it. If you essentially love it, you must love every expression of it. That's why Chazal say that if a person finds himself in a situation where the taivas, the life of taiva, is something which is essentially he's related to, and he can't remove himself from it. You see, he's related to it in an essential way. So then what happens is that he has to negate Chochmah in a very important part of his life. He must negate it. Now, by negating Chochmah, he can't be a lover of Chochmah anymore. To be a lover of Chochmah means to be a lover of Chochmah per se, and it must express itself in every area. Otherwise, you don't love Chochmah in an essential manner. You love Chochmah in an accidental manner. Yeah, it's a nice game. I enjoy a game of chess. It's very nice. It's Chochmah. But that's not a lover of Chochmah. That's a person that enjoys some of the permutations of Chochmah. But to enjoy Chochmah per se means to really love this element of Chochmah which expresses itself in every area of life. So if it goes against him in a certain area, and he can't possibly go along with it, so what happens is that eventually he has to remove himself from from that area of Chochmah, and he has to build a resentment against Chochmah, and his love for Chochmah has to fail. That's what Chazal maintain. Once the love fails in an essential way, then it's called Ein Chochmah Sam Eskayemus.
What is love?
You see, it's an impossibility, because if somebody loves something in an essential way, then you have to love that thing. So loving that thing means wherever you find that thing, you have to have a love for it. Now, if you have an area where you hate it, then it's impossible to love that thing essentially. It's an impossibility. You must, in order to love the thing essentially, you have to be able to love the Chochmah per se. And if an area of your life is such where it becomes devoid of Chochmah, he can't tolerate Chochmah in that area. Now, he knows Chochmah's the extent of that area. He knows that. So therefore, what he has to do is he has to develop a certain resentment towards it, because it's in this area he doesn't want it. That means that his essential love of Chochmah is incomplete. It's impossible for him to love the Chochmah per se, essentially. And that's called Ein Chochmah Sam Eskayemus. Ein Chochmah Sam Eskayemus really means that it's not something which is strongly rooted, and the Chochmah cannot become a part of his essential life. It can't become a part of his essential life. That's what does Ram say? But the Ram says, Tichbar lava chachma v'yanichena. He says, I'll leave it. What does he mean? He means it's possible for such a person to become enthused by chachma at a certain point. You see? But then what happens is that eventually when he sees that he can't apply it and he really can't live with it, it's impossible for him to love it. See, the pasuk says, Emo la chachma chaysia. You know what the pasuk says? It means that the Chochmah has to be a love object. It has to be a love object. In order for the Chochmah to be a love object, he has to love it in every expression, especially in the expressions that are closest to his life. If in the areas that are closest to his life he doesn't have a love for it, then it's not an essential love for Chochmah anymore. See? And that's why it's Einam Eskayemus. That's what Chazal said. Chachma in Chachma, it's all encompassing. It's true. That is very true. That's I mentioned this once before. That's one of the mistakes that people make when they read the Mara Nevuchim. Because the Mara Nevuchim, the translation of Chachma, is knowledge. And people in Western society today, knowledge has a certain connotation. It means a person that has knowledge means a person that is a scholar. He's a he may be a great genius in physics or math or a specific branch of knowledge. That's not what the Rambam means by knowledge. The Rambam means by knowledge, it means this type of knowledge. It means where the person's soul lives in knowledge and loves knowledge in every expression all around it. It's a different kind of knowledge. In that respect, all knowledge merges. I mean, the knowledge of physics and the knowledge of math and everything merges, the knowledge of Torah. It's all one entity because it's all God's chachma. When a person is in love with that knowledge, he's in love with every expression of God's chachma, and everything is Torah. That's why the Rambam says in the beginning of the Yad, he says everything's included in Torah. The knowledge of astronomy, knowledge of the universe, knowledge of math, all knowledge is included in Torah, all included. Because it means the expression of the love of this entity called Chachma, which is all encompassing, in every area of life. Yes? I'll tell you why that is. You see, that's a phenomenon of a modern Western man. Why? Because for modern Western man, his main motivation in life is success. That's his main motivation. That's the way we're trained. Success is the main motivation in life. So therefore, if that is the main motivation, so therefore people who have a great aptitude for math will spend their life in math. Why should they go out of math? They're not going to really be getting anything by going out of math. But a person who loves chachma, he may have a greater aptitude for a particular area, and he probably will spend a large part of his time in that area, because that's where he can appreciate the chachma to a greater degree, if he happens to have a better aptitude for that area. That makes sense. But that he should be devoid, that he should spend his time expressly in that one area, would not be the life of a chacham. Because a chacham loves chachma in every expression. There's a beauty of seeing the whole gamut of chachma. From the chachma of human psychology, to the chachma of physics, the chachma of Torah, halacha, philosophy. There's a beauty of seeing the whole picture of chachma. That is a special... That view is a totally different spectacle. And a person who really is a lover of chachma wants to see the whole picture of chachma. He wants to see the whole picture. That's why Chachmei Yisrael, many of the Rishonim, when you read the biographies, you see you're surprised at how much they knew from the Chachmas Chitonios. Of the other chachmas that they know, how to know mathematics and of their time, and the physics of their time, and the astronomy of their time, how much they studied the other areas. I mean, not just the Rambam, many, many others, and many Achronim also. If you read their biographies, you'll find it very interesting how people don't even know. And why don't people know about it? Because in this world, today's society, anyone makes a discovery, immediately they run to the press because they want to demonstrate, show that they're the ones that made the discovery. Chachmei Yisrael was Atnei Alachas HaMalakecha. They studied mathematics, they studied physics, and they didn't tell anybody about it. No reason to. It was just because they truly appreciated the Chachmas Hashem. It's a different kind of a thing. A different kind of a thing. That's why that's the type of person, you see, that will not just spend his time in one area. I'll spend this time in all the areas that lead. How will he judge how much time he spends in every area? He will spend this time in the areas insofar as it results in giving him a total picture of appreciation of Chachma. And he has to know. I mean, he knows when a person is on that level, he realizes how to spend this time in order to get the total picture of Chachma. But the point is, the man is in love with Chachma per se. That's Chachmas HaMeskayamis. Chazal didn't really think too highly of a person who enjoys a little Chachma. You know, it's nice, but if it's not that he loves the Chachma per se, that's not the level. What the Rambam means is like this, that the love affair with Chachma, he can also experience. But what happens is like this, that when he happens upon Chachma, so he experiences a love affair with Chachma, but then, since it's so difficult, in fact, for him to live according to that way of Chachma, so he has to eventually, he has to, it's a psychological phenomena, he has to resent it. And he has to, because he can't, yeah, because he can't really love something which goes against his whole grain. See, it goes against his grain. That's what the Rambam says. What does it mean? Let's try to understand it. What does it mean? You're a scheto kodemes li, you're a scheto kodemes l'chachmasa. How is it possible to have the yiraschet precede the chachma? What is this yiraschet that the Mishnah is talking about? Fear of sin. What does that mean? What is it based on? See, really what the Chazal is saying, according to the Rambam, is that, you see, that the life, a person, when a person becomes a Chacham, so he does certain actions. He lives in a certain manner, in a certain way. The way that he lives after he becomes a Chacham, on the surface, looks the same as the way he lived before he became a Chacham. On the surface, it looks kind of similar. Like, for instance, I mean, you'll see a regular plain Jew that goes to shul, puts on tefillin, davens, he learns. I mean, a person that has a seder in learning, you take a look at a Jew like that, and you take a look at a Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Rabbi Akiva learns more, I mean, there's no question about that, but on the surface, basically, they both seem to do the same exact activity. The activities look similar. But the truth of the matter is that there's absolutely no comparison. That in one of them, the motivation is based upon not a very deep understanding, and in the other person, there's a whole world of chokhmah that unravels. And everything he's doing is for an absolutely different reason than the plain person is doing it. Completely different. See, people make a mistake. They think that Tanoim, Amoraim, had more Yerushalayim than we have. Not more Yerushalayim. It's a completely different road altogether. It's not a quantitative thing. It's a qualitative change. Now, what happens is, what's interesting is, though, that you see that on the surface, it appears the same. On the surface, it appears the same. The one person, the person who is doing it on the lower level, is doing it definitely for emotional reasons. So he doesn't really understand what he's doing. He doesn't have any knowledge. But there are certain emotional trends that are keeping him that are causing him to do these actions. See? That's the lower level. But the great Chacham, when a person becomes a Chacham, and he unravels exactly, starts understanding the mitzvahs, and starts seeing the Chacham of how to live, he sees this is the way to live, but it's a totally different thing. It's a whole new world unfolds now. And he understands the mitzvahs in a completely different way. And he does them for a completely different motivation than the plain person who was doing them for emotional reasons before. You see. So that's what the Rambam means when he says that Shehergo ha-mailas, kishayikodem l'chachma, achi yekin yechazot, v'achakach yilmar ha-chachma, Asher tezar zeyu al atel vasahem, he learns the chachma that really motivates him to do this good. Yosef simcha v'ava b'chachma b'charitzus. Losef meno achar she'te'oreyu l'masha horgo. He says the chachma really motivates him to do that which he already was doing. He already was doing it for a different reason. He was doing it for emotional reason. But then when he becomes a chachma, he understands it in a totally different way. He makes a transition, a total transition. But the transition that he makes is a smooth one. Why? Because it does not involve going against his titus. See, that's what the Rambam says. In other words, what the Rambam says is that if the Chachma is going to be something which involves, which means that he has to completely go against his whole his titus, his way of life, Then it's going to be an impossibility for him to stick with it, because he's going to develop the hatred towards Chachma, which impinges upon his way of life, which you can't do. So that's why you have to have that the perfection of the midos has to precede the chachma. In short, what is the Rambam really saying? What the Rambam is really saying is that in Torah, see, the purpose of Torah really is to give a person a life of chachma. To be a Rabbi Akiva, that's the purpose. The purpose is to reach that level where everything is chachma, and you're motivated to do everything only by chachma. That's the level. However, there's a lower level where people don't have the knowledge, but they do it for emotional reasons. But that serves a purpose also. What purpose does that serve? That serves a purpose of perfecting the midos. Perfecting the midos. It's a system which lends itself to the perfection of the midos. And the perfection of the midos is a good thing, because if you don't have the perfection of the midos, there's some imperfection, so then the person will not be able to tolerate the onset of chachma, which will cause him to reflect upon his way of life and dictate that he can't live this way, can't live the way he's living, you see. So therefore, see, this explains the question we asked before. We asked about what about a Resh Lakish? A Resh Lakish who was a horse thief? The answer is that it doesn't necessarily mean it's not necessarily reflected in what the person does so much on the outside. It's more a matter of whether he has the perfection of the midos, the capacity. It's an inherent capacity and ability. A person might be doing something wrong because he thinks that that's the good, not necessarily because he is incapable emotionally of living another way. In other words, if a person is a criminal because he's a horse thief, because he simply is incapable of tolerating not stealing. Not leaving his hands off somebody else's property. He must steal, you see. He can't control himself. Such a person can never be a perfected man in chachma. It's impossible. Because he's not perfected in terms of the midos. However, it doesn't necessarily mean that what a person does always indicates an imperfection in the midos. It could be that he's under the influence of a wrong philosophy. It's a wrong philosophy. He believes this is the good, when in fact, it isn't. You see. And that would seem to be the case of Resh Lakish. Why did Resh Lakish change in a minute? Because Resh Lakish gained an insight, and he saw that the way of life that he's leading is not really the good. He was convinced before that was the good, and then he saw it was wrong. If he was a person that was just incapable, why don't most people change? See, most people don't change. When they read the story of Resh Lakish, it sounds like a fable. Why is it a fable to them? Because the reason why they're doing things is not because of a conviction, because they maintain that this is the good, but it's just because their emotions are so strong that their emotions lead them to these type of actions. Such a person can't make a change in 1 minute. How's he going to change? How's he going to change all his emotions in 1 minute? It's an impossibility. But there's another type of individual, a person whose emotions are not necessarily imperfected. His midos are not imperfected. But he's under a wrong conviction. He thinks that something is the good when in fact it's not the good. So then, if a person can enlighten him, he can change in a minute. But that's a rare individual, because very few people are that free. That their emotions are really perfected and they're doing things based upon their conviction. Most people just do things as an outgrowth of their own emotions. So that's why it's not a question really from Resh Lakish. Because such an individual really, he wasn't a person that didn't have the ability to control his midos. He wasn't a person that was. He was living that way because that was his conviction, that was the good, that was the right way to live. It was just a person that had wild, unruly emotions, he would never be able to make the transition
especially so quickly. That would be totally impossible.
So what Chazal is saying is not necessarily, by the way, it doesn't mean a person who does an Avera. A person who does an Avera, everybody does Averas, and talking about Shias Tavolei Echta. But what it means is a person whose nature is such that he's Ra Min Urav. He's essentially attached to a lustful existence. And that's the way he's been trained. That's the way his nature is, so that Chochmah, when it comes to the area of his life, Chochmah can only make him feel unhappy. Because he can in no way feel that his life is tied with Chochmah. Because his passions dictate to him that he lives a life which is completely contrary to Chochmah. Doesn't mean a Balavera over there. Everybody's a Balavera. It means a person whose nature is such that he's raised in a lustful way, and he simply, his whole life is nonsensical. He has to admit his life is nonsensical. So once his personal life is nonsensical, there's a difference between a person's life being nonsensical and a person living a life where he has a life of terror, but he falters. He falters. He's a balavera. Everybody falters. That's not what the Chazal means. Ein chachmas meskayemes means that he cannot look at his life as being in any way having a form of chachma to it. Can't look at it that way, because he can't identify his life with Chochmah. A person that can't identify his life with Chochmah is like the Rambam says, it has to be Tich Baralava Chochmah V'yanechana. It becomes very burdensome, as much as he had a first love affair with Chochmah, but it becomes very burdensome, and then he has to leave it, because the contradiction between his own life and Chochmah is too painful for him to tolerate. It's too painful, there is no way that he could tolerate it. It's a psychological phenomenon. That's what the Mishnah says. That he desires. Immediately he has to gratify his desires. And a spoiled child is one in which he learns that his whole reactions, his reaction is simply desire and satisfaction. Desire and satisfaction. So therefore he can't possibly tolerate a life which he has any restraint. So what happens to that person is they can never really achieve any level of perfection, because they can't envision their personal life as having anything to do with Chochmah. How could their life have anything to do with Chochmah? So every desire they have to satisfy. So obviously, it's not a life of Chochmah. So once a person can't look at his life as being a life of Chochmah, he has to resent that force which is always saying that his life is a wasteful existence. Can't think of your life as being a wasteful existence and love the object which tells you it's a wasteful existence. It's impossible. It's humanly impossible. Okay. That's why Chazal said that it's very important that a person should be raised from the time he's a child in a way that he doesn't satisfy the emotions. He doesn't satisfy, and he can live a life where there is a temperance. If he has a life of temperance, then he's a free person to choose Chochmah. But if he doesn't have it, it will be impossible. Eventually he's going to have to dislike it and have to leave it. Yes. Chazal say, there's an interesting Chazal. Chazal say that Ein Adam Zocher Bekesser Shel Torah, a person does not acquire the crown of Torah, Elein Kein Nasa Lo Achzor Al Ishto V'Albanav, unless he becomes cruel to his wife and his children. Okay? So a lot of people don't like that memory. Don't appreciate that memory. But the memory is a true one. What it means is, what the memory is, like the Gemara says, the Gemara gives an example of it. The Gemara says that one of the Tanoim, he had his wife asked him for food. Where's the food? So he said, Harbei Asavim Bahar. A lot of vegetables on the mountain. Go cut them and eat them. So a lot of people feel that when they see that this type of a chazal, they feel it's very, how could a person be so cruel, be so inhuman? But the answer really is that what Chazal was saying is that a person has to have the ability. The person is just kind and just likes to satisfy the emotion of kindness, he really can't do anything constructive. Because many times you have to be able to partake of Achzorius. You have to be able to do it. And even though it's something which is very difficult to do, much more difficult many times to do that, the person can't, doesn't have the ability. Some people can't do that. So they, that's right. They can't do anything which really, at a certain time in the child's life, will be something which this child's world is shattering. The child can't tolerate it. But it has to be done. The person can't partake of that emotion and be cruel at that time, act cruelly at that time, then they don't have control of their emotions. To be able to work with Chochmah, to be zochah to the Keser Shel Torah, the crown of Torah, means that a person lives a life of Chochmah. He has to cross certain emotional paths, which are definitely going to involve him acting in a way which would be considered cruel. He can't do it, and he can't perfect himself, and he can't perfect his family. It's an impossibility. It's especially difficult with regard to children. People and children really see themselves, and they usually heap upon the child everything that they really, in their unconscious, desire. And what they're doing is really satisfying their own infantile needs that were never satisfied. So that's very, very difficult for them to be cruel, because they're really being cruel to themselves, actually. It's a difficult thing. And because of that, what happens is the child suffers. Yes. Person has in the Yiras Chet is an emotional state. The Yiras Chet is an emotional state, but it's an emotional state where he's not overpowered by the tithes. There's a balance. He doesn't mean he has no tithes. He has tithes, and he has the other side. It's like people commonly construe the Yetzirah and the Yetzer Tov. He has a balance. Well, the balance is not just given over to the... In other words, what Chazal is saying is that you cannot overcome, a person cannot overcome that love of the self to the point that he should be so abstracted from himself that even though his whole life is an absolute waste, he's still going to love that thing which dictates that it's a waste. That's impossible. That's true. But there is a case, but there are certain, it has to do with a combination of predisposition and how the person is raised. There's no question about it. It's both. That's why hopefully, if the children have a fairly good predisposition, so as bad as the parents are, they can't ruin it. But there's a case in the Torah where you see such a phenomenon. Where's the case in the Torah? Esav or Russia. That's Esav. Esav had the predisposition of Totel Taiva. And what happened? That's what happened. He had to leave it. It wasn't that he wanted to be a Russian. Eventually, he simply couldn't tolerate the Chacham. That's why the Rambam explains the memory. There's Rabbeinu Yonah explains it differently. Rabbeinu Yonah says it like this. Different pshat. Le'inyan ishtadlus nemar adava. Ha'mishtadl ladas chochma kadei sheyeda lishmor snafsho menachet v'nechka. Alright? It's speaking with regard. He learns a different pshat altogether. What does it mean that Yiras Cheto Kodemes Lechachmaso? It means like this. It's referring to the man's desire and motivation, he says. He says that a person who desires to learn Chachma because he wants to remove himself from Chet, because he wants to live a good life, he says, and he became a Chacham, he says that person's Chachma is Niskayim. It's a different pshat, see? He says, "V'nimtza parshman averus v'osa mitzvah kashlon v'hisko." Then chachmas, but chachmaso kodemes liraso. What's the other case? The opposite case is where lo ishtadl mitzvah ladasa chachma kedei l'kaimo kim lahavin l'hasko. He says, then that's the case where the person really didn't desire chachma because he wants to live a life of chachma, but he only did it because he wants to become wise. He wanted to gain wisdom. He says, then it will not remain with him. Different shot. What is this pshat? Zimvya. Kol shiyiras chachma, kol shiyiras cheto kodemesli chachmaso means that what's underlying his motivation? What's his underlying motivation for chachma? So there are two possible underlying motivations. One is because a person is looking for the good. That's his motivation. Okay? Another is his motivation is just to become a chacham. He doesn't really care about the good. So he says that if his motivation is for the good, then his chachmasos miskayenas. Then his chachma will remain. Why? because since he's motivated, his motivation is initially because he wants to live the proper life. That's his motivation. Not a motivation because he wants to be a chacham per se. Because what's the only rational reason that a person should really seek out chachmah? Is because that he's looking for the proper way to live. He wants to understand life. He wants to understand what the proper way to live is. That is the most rational motivation that man can have. So if that's really his motivation, then his chachmah will remain. Why? Because you see that the chachmah is tied to his essential nature. What is most important to a person? To any person. Most important is the way he lives. What could be more important than that? What science could be more important to an individual than the science that deals with his own personal life and how he should spend his days and in which way he should gain the most out of his life? There can't be any science that's more important to man than that. See? That's really Socratic wisdom. Because that's the whole idea of Plato, really. The whole idea of Socrates. Is that he was a man that spent his time in understanding what life is and what the best life is. Other people were involved in geometry and mathematics, other Greek scholars. But Socrates felt that there's only one area which is the most important area. That's the area of human life. That's the science that needs the most understanding if a person wants to gain anything out of his life. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Rabbeinu Yonah says like this. That if a person's motivation in Chachmah is because he wants to discover what the proper life is, so then Chachmah Samaskayanis. Then he'll remain with Chachmah. Why? Because when he gains knowledge of what the proper life is, and he finds that the proper life is really the life of Chachmah itself, that is the life, you see, so naturally he'll remain with it. However, if his motivation is just that he wants to be a Chacham, but it's abstracted from his personal life, it's just he wants to be a great Chacham. So what happens? What happens is that eventually he's going to leave it. Why? Because eventually he's going to see that the Chachma that he's searching for, when he gets there, it goes into different areas, and those areas cross lines with his own life, in which he's not interested in it. So he puts it in a certain compartment of his mind. Yeah. There's a chachma, but basically everything is really his essential motivation is not one of chachma. It's essentially, it can't be tied to chachma. The only way it can be tied essentially to chachma is if the man's motivation is, for one thing, to find out what the correct ezu derech tova sheiva lo adam. If that's his essential motivation, then chachma will remain with him. Otherwise, won't remain. That's our Rabbeinu Yonah. Different shot. Because then it's an avocation. Then by definition it's an avocation. If it's an avocation, so then he'll have his little flair with Chachma, but that's not his essential thing. He has a little fling and that's it. In this sense, I mean, the egoistic emotion is, because what do you motivate a person with? What do you motivate a child with? If he doesn't have Chachma, what do you motivate him with? So the answer is, you motivate him with egoistic emotions. Tell him that this is good. If he does this, he'll become a great person, and people respect him, and right. So the point is, but that you have to be careful also in that area, not to overemphasize that area. But that side is better than the lustful emotions, because the lustful emotions do not know about reality at all, whereas the egoistic emotions have some reality in it. He has people with certain benefits. People respect him. It is dealing at least with a thought out plan of some sort, where he sees a rational benefit. Whereas just giving into lust has nothing to do with the sechel at all. It's just pure taiva. So pure taiva is more dangerous. You see, since the man, the Napoleon, it's true that as long as he's on his path, he'll never reach the end. But since his makeup, since the area that he's involved with has some chokhmah involved, so it's possible to reach him. And it's possible for him to come to a recognition that what he's doing is completely wrong. It's possible to come to a recognition. However, if it's pure taiva in the world of the lustful, there is no room for reason in the world of lust. The world of lust, you can't talk to a person who is simply a hedonist. There's nothing to talk about. All he's interested in is in being involved in his physical taivas. There's no rationale. There's nothing to discuss. There's no element of rationality. So that's why it's worse for a person to be tied to the lustful tivers than to the egoistic tivers. Even though in the egoistic tivers, of the two, the egoistic is more endless than the lustful. So it's not a contradiction, but it's two different... So you have to evaluate them on two different planes, two different frameworks. In one framework, one is worse, and the other framework, the other is worse. To be totally in the lustful, that's the Dora Mabel. Dora Mabel is totally in the lustful. There's no answer for the Dora Mabel. You have to destroy it. But the Dora Flugger, the egoistic, there is some rationale, Masalon of Shame, and there's a plan, they're working, they're building, they're constructing, they're using reason. So it's possible to remedy, to give them a remedy. But without the remedy, it is much more dangerous. It is the most dangerous, because it's endless. See? That's why I mentioned it depends why a person is involved in the tivus. He's involved in the tivus just for the just for his enjoyment, his physical enjoyment. If he's a Baal Seichel, so he'll have his enjoyment, that's it. But if he's involved for the ego, ego is endless. So it's impossible. And that's really, really in terms of the social order, God's social order. That's the idea of Mechias Amalek. That's why you have to destroy an Amalekite. Because there's no room for an Amalekite and the Jew. Can't exist. Because the Amalekite is a man who is the man of total ego, and there cannot be. That's why it says, the Pasuk says, Ki Yod Al Keis Ka. Ki Yod Al Keis Ka. Because the Kisei, God's Kisei, God's throne, is deficient as long as the Amalekites exist. Why is that so? Because the Amalekite can't tolerate the Jew, can't tolerate God. There's no room for him. It's endless. Endless, his desire is endless. Okay? That's why, that's the idea of Mechias Amalek, really. But that still doesn't, that means Amalek is the nation which has those characteristics, the ego mania. Have a good life, you'll take care of yourself, you'll be well, there's a borderline. When it becomes egomania, that means it's the ego which cannot be reached with reason anymore. The individual is incapable of being reached with reason. It can reach such a proportion. Then it's hopeless.
You see that both egomania,
right? Total hedonism is more harmful for the individual. Because it doesn't allow the individual the ability to get out of its grasp. Total hedonism. The egoistic emotions are more harmful for others. You see, are more harmful to others, the egoistic emotions. And of course, if the only advantage they have is that they lend themselves more. If it hasn't reached the degree of egomania, it lends itself to reason, because it works with reason. But of course, it's possible to have it to a degree where it's simply reason becomes a total tool, and reason is there is no the person doesn't recognize any value in the reason itself. That's a mullet. There is a tendency in man, there's a tendency in man that expresses itself in the suppression in his mind of the halacha. That's a sheyeshev yesir malibo. He caters to that trend in his mind. There is such a trend in man. Chazal recognized that trend in man. You see, it's the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says, Ufen yasuru mulvavcha, kol yamei chayecha. So what does it mean, yasuru mulvavcha? It should, yasuru means they will turn away. If the implication is that they're being turned away. So yasuru. Yesuru is receiving the action of Asara. The term Yasuru means that they will turn away. Turn away means that somebody is turning them away. The other way, the Shur said he forgot them. Now, Yasuru means turn away, which means it's accepting the action of turning, which he's doing. So there is a part of man that strives to cause a person to forget the halachic system. And that part of man stems from his desire to be free from the halachic system. So therefore it expresses itself in his forgetting the halachas, the details of the halachas. There's such a phenomena in the human soul. That's what Chazal, that's what the Torah recognizes. Chazal recognized in the Pasuk that that's a certain trend in man's nature. A person does not like to be bound by the intricacies and the details of the halachic system. As a matter of fact, that really is the purpose of being of the details of the halachic system. Details of the halachic system are such that they encompass a person's entire life, and they change his whole life and make his life an activity of chachma and Torah. The trend in man which is evil is a desire to move away from this, from being bound by all these complications of the halacha. And he simply pushes it out of his mind, pushes the system out of his mind. He doesn't like the, especially the details. What people say, the nitpicking and the details in the halachic system. See, that's penyasur mavavcha. The man's desire for freedom. There is in man such a desire to be free from, not to be bound by all the intricacies and the complications of the halachic system. That's the plus. That's the plus. The side point. Why a side point? Why the Torah mentions the Mishkan in detail in the pasuk, in Tosha B'Ksav? You have so much exactly, and then the repetition, repeated exactly, and Moshe Rabbeinu made it exactly that way, and repeats again the whole thing. Why all this? Why the Torah mention? Because the area of the Mishkan is a dangerous area. You're dealing with an area where the Torah system is worked out that a person should be able to relate to God and yet not do it in a way that's anthropomorphic and leads to avodah zarah. And therefore the Torah wanted it to be clear in Torah Shabbat that exactly how the structure should be, that it doesn't cater to man's desire for avodah zarah. It must be constructed precisely that way. There's nothing that could be that is there in the Mishkan that caters to a person's desire for something material in relationship to God to give him that security. That's why the Torah had it openly in Tarshish B'Ksav. There shouldn't be any question about it. Okay, it's a separate point. Yes. The Kruvim is a separate shiur. I one time spoke about it. There's a Rambam in the Mora explains what the whole idea of the Kruvim is. The Kruvim is the idea of, basically, the Kruvim is the idea of the source of Chachma. Now, Chachma, it's really the idea of the Kruvim is really the epistemology of Yadis. The epistemology of Yadis. But it's a separate area. We went through it once. It's on a separate tape. Yes. The truth, you're right. In other words, we were speaking with regard to the fact that a person desires to be free and he tries to suppress the halachic phenomena. But you're right. I mean, Chazal say exactly the opposite. Choros el haluchos, so Chazal say el tikki choros el acheros. That the real freedom, on the contrary, the real freedom stems from the halachic system, from the system of Yadis, the philosophy of Yadis. What it means is that the freedom that a person seeks by following his emotional desire for freedom is not really freedom. It's just he is acting at that point under the constraints of another emotion. See? That's under the constraints of another emotion, and that really is not a freedom, but it's a catering to that emotion, that emotional desire to be free. But the real freedom is only through the system of Yadis. The real person who has reached the highest level of Yadis does not act in any way out of constraint. But it's a natural, he acts naturally because he simply follows the way of Chachma. Simply follows. The real free man is a man who acts in accordance to the way his mind sees that the good is. Then he's acting as a total person. That's the ultimate level of that's real chayrus. That's the real level of chayrus. There's a real chayrus. See, real chayrus has to be where the essence of man is following what is naturally good to him, naturally good for him. That's the real chayrus. That's only where a person simply follows Chachma. He's in the world of Chachma, and he just simply follows what Chachma dictates. There is no constraint, and there's no need for him to compel himself to do it. He does it naturally, like a person would naturally go for something which is beneficial for him. That's really the highest level. But that's the level of Oved Me'ava. That's the level of an Oved Me'ava. That's not the level of a person that's Oved, but it's a Kovesh Yisitro. Kovesh Yisitro, he still is under constraint. But the constraint of Kovesh Yisitro is really a higher level, nevertheless, than the other level, where the person just is dominated by his emotional desire to break away from everything. See, that's a destructive form of constraint. It's a constraint, it's an emotional constraint, but it's destructive. There's a constructive constraint, is the constraint of Kovesh Yisitro. But the ultimate level is the level where he's Oved Me'ava. It means where the personality is in harmony, and he simply follows, he doesn't do it because of any reward, he doesn't do it because he feels he has to, he does it just naturally because his soul is in line with seeking Chachma, and whatever he sees as Chachma, he moves towards it because he loves it. That's the real free man. That's the ultimate free man. That's the free man that Chazal mentioned, that experiences tremendous happiness. And that happiness can only, of course, be experienced by a person on that level. That's the level where Chazal mentioned, the Rambam mentions it, always mentions that the Tana who came to Yerushalayim and he saw the throngs of people, and he said that all these people are created because of me. Which means to say that his soul was in such a state of perfection that he experienced an unbelievable continuous happiness. And he recognized that the whole of humanity is just was just created for an individual like himself to experience such a constant state of euphoria where he feels a certain freedom, and he's just living in accordance with Chachma. That's the highest level. That's Cheres. That's Choras al Aluchos. But that's the ultimate highest level. Kovesh Yisitro is really just a system, a subsystem that's created to get a person to reach the ultimate system. You see. We're up to test now. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa Amar Kol Sheyiras Cheto Kodemes L'Chachmasa Chachmasa Neskeyamas. Yes.
We're in the middle of that.
V'Kol Shechachmasa Kodemes L'Yiras Cheto Ein Chachmasa Neskeyamas. Okay, so we mentioned here the Pshat of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, what does it mean? It means that the literal translation is, if his fear of sin precedes his knowledge, then his knowledge will remain. If his knowledge precedes his fear of sin, then his knowledge will not remain with him. So Rabbeinu Yonah explains it very nicely, that what it means is that a person, it's referring to the motivation of a person. It means that a person whose fear of chet precedes his chachma. He says, "Linyan ishtadlus." It's referring to his motivation, his desire. Nemar adav, amishtadl adas chokhma kedei sheyeda lishmar snafshem anachet v'nechkam. A person who runs after chokhma because he wants to avoid chet. And then he became a chokhm, so then his chokhma will remain with him. But a person whose chokhma precedes his fear of chet, it means he only learns for the purpose of chokhma. You see? He says like this, Chachmasa kenos v'irasa, ein chachmasa muskenos, lo ishtadl metchila l'adas ha-chachma kidei l'kaima. He didn't try to learn chachma in order to fulfill it. Kim l'hovinu l'haskel. He only wanted, he enjoyed intellectuality. He wanted to be an intellectual. So then it's not going to be miskayim. Lo tiskayim v'yada. What it means is that here the Pirkei Avos defines what is really meant by chachma. What is a chacham? Is a chacham a great mathematician? Is a chacham a great physicist? A great psychologist? What really is a chacham? Excuse me. But it's explaining more than just the shema. It's explaining what the definition of a chacham and chachma is. See, chachma is not a particular knowledge in a particular field. A person can be a great mathematician and not be a chacham. Great scientist and not be a chacham. And a person could a person, in order to be a chacham, there's a certain underlying requirement. What is that requirement? The requirement is that the person should have a love for chachma, because he has a love and a desire to live according to reality. He's looking for the life of a chacham. The life of a chacham encompasses many areas of chacham. He can't be a chacham if he's a boor. Can't be a chacham if he has no knowledge of psychology. If he has no knowledge of chachmas Hashem. If he has no knowledge of Torah, of all the chachmas. It's really, the real chacham is a man that loves knowledge and wants to live according to chachma. He has to make use of many chachmas. So he has to make use of many chachmas. But what he's really after is to live in accordance with wisdom. That's an inherent. Because he's looking for chachma with regard to human life. He's looking for chachma with regard to human life. His life should be a life of chachma. That's really what chachma. That's what chachma means. And that's what chachamim are. Chachamim are not people that have expertise in a particular area, necessarily. I mean, they have to have an overview of chachma. That's why you see all the Rishonim and all the Gedolim studied all the different chachmas. I mean, not only the Rambam, others also. But they studied different chachmas and they knew all the areas of chachma. And the Vilna Gaon, Vilna, as you know, studied mathematics and physics and all the knowledge. They always were into all the knowledge of the day. Why? What does it mean? It doesn't really matter. Knowledge, of course, grows with the generations. Man improves in his specific fields. He gains more knowledge in specific fields. But the person that is a lover of chachma always will make sure that he can avail himself of all the knowledge that his day can supply to him. In order, because why? Because underneath his underlying desire is to live a life of chachma. It's to live a life of chachma, and that's a real chachma. That's a real chachma. It's a person who is searching for chachma with regard to human life. Not a person who's after a particular area of expertise, like a great scientist or a great mathematician or a great biologist. That is not really the chachma that the. That's only lahavin alaska. That means a person learned lahavin alaska. He wants to be a great theoretician. He wants to be a great chacham. So he chooses a particular area, and he dedicates his life to that area. That's not real. That's chachmaso is kodemes liyir ascheta. It means he wants lahavin alaska. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah explains. But the real chacham is a person that is in search of reality insofar as his life is concerned. It's chachma insofar as a human life, knowledge and wisdom in the area of human life, to live like a chacham, to have a whole panoramic view that his entire life should be in line with reality. That's a person who's a yiras chetos kodemes lechachmasa. It means that he's interested in living a life according to chachma, so that he should avoid chait. Chait means where a person fails. Lachta asamatara means he fails in his objective in living a life, a human life of chachma. That's what a chacham is. So that's why it doesn't really matter how advanced science is in the particular day in which a chacham lived, whether he lived 1,000 years ago or 100 years ago, it doesn't really matter. You had chachamim down throughout the ages, because those were individuals who were interested in living a life of chacham. How advanced science is at that time is a human limitation. A person is a finite creature, and he's bound by the time in which his lifespan exists. He can't get out of those bounds, because we're finite creatures. But the Rambam, living in his time before the advances in modern physics, didn't make the Rambam any less of a person insofar as a life of a chacham, insofar as his search and his knowledge and the attitude of his soul towards chachma. And he lived a life of chachma. The important thing is that a person must strive. A person that strives for chachma, of course, will naturally strive for knowledge insofar as he can attain it. Therefore, he takes advantage of the knowledge of his generation. But that's not the underlying essence. The particular knowledge of his generation is not the underlying essence of a chacham. The underlying essence of a chacham is a person that searches for the whole view, that his soul should have a certain attitude towards chachma. That's the man who lives the life of a chacham. He may not know a particular area because he's limited to his time and space, but he is an individual who nevertheless sees the whole, his attitude. The Rambam's attitude towards chachma is no different than the greatest chacham today, who can avail himself of even greater knowledge. But in terms of the attitude of his soul towards chachma, there is no difference. The particulars, that a person is limited by. That you can't do anything about. That depends on the person who lives. But insofar as the attitude of his soul towards chachma, there is no difference. The man lives the life of a chacham. It is God's will that a person should live the life of a chacham. He's, of course, the particular knowledge, he's imprisoned by his very existence. He's imprisoned and he's fixed to the time that he lives. I mean, that cannot be changed. Yes. Just like, of course, we today are fixed. We can't, centuries from now, there's no question about it, they'll unravel more chachma, and people will look at our lives just like we look at people who lived in medieval times. In terms of, there's no difference. Of course, every generation always has the advantage, so to speak, of the feeling that they've reached the ultimate level, because they're always ahead of the other level they had before. But in reality, they're just as much prisoners of their time and the time of their existence as any previous generation. There is no difference. It's just the fantasy of what we one time call it the fantasy of modernity. Yes. See, a person that just it depends what turns the person on. There are people that are turned on by chess. Chess has chachma. You're allowed to play chess on Shabbos according to many poskim because there's chachma. But that's not the type of chachma that we're looking for. Not necessarily. No, it's not. It's not a stepping stone. It means a person, like the Rambam mentions in one of his writings. I think he mentions that people who enjoy geometry, so they say, spend their time in geometric problems. So the Rambam says that that's not really a chacham, because he's wasting his time in working. You can spend your time in geometric problems. There's enough geometry to spend your time in one corner of Euclid. You can spend your whole life. And there's a tremendous amount of material there. But a person who's looking for chachma is a person that's looking for the overall picture of reality. It's similar to what Albert Einstein one time said, that he said he saw right away when he embarked upon science that he could spend his life in any corner of science. But he said what he wanted to see was the overall picture. That's what he wanted to see. He said, I want to see God's thoughts. The rest are all details. That's a person who is who's looking for a chachma, is looking for reality, looking for ultimate reality. But in Yadis, it's more than just seeing God's thoughts insofar as the physical world is concerned. It's looking for God's thoughts insofar as man's life is concerned as well. It's seeing the total picture of God's thoughts. That's the that's the chachma of Moshe Rabbeinu. To see Harein Nos Kvodecho, and to understand that Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lachanan, the Yigimu Midos, means to understand the source of all creation, to understand God in all aspects, in terms of his relationship to man, in terms of the Chachma involved in human life, in terms of the Chachma of the universe, the total picture. That's the real Chachma. I mean, it's an interesting thing, but there's one of the great physicists, Heisenberg. Heisenberg wrote a book on the philosophy of modern physics. And in the book he shows how the major problems that the physicists take up today were really the major problems were taken up by the ancients, Plato and Aristotle and the ancient Greek philosophers. And he says it is an amazing thing how you really don't need that much technological advancement to be able to be to approach the major problems, even in physics, you see. Because chachma is, even though of course the more technological knowledge we gain, the more we uncover, the more we understand God's chachma. it was a mistake of the ancients to assume that the they made an assumption because they didn't know that they didn't realize the depth of the chachma that exists and how much we have to investigate in order to get the basic facts. You see, they thought they had the basic facts, but they didn't. But nevertheless, see, a great chacham many centuries ago, even though he didn't have the modern technological advances, if he was here today, he would be in line. He would be in line with the problems. He would be in the area. So that's why I'm mentioning to you that even though the chachamim of old were limited, but nevertheless, insofar as the life of a chacham is concerned, they weren't limited. Limited, because there's enough chachma that a person can uncover even without modern technology, so that his life could be a life of chachma, you see. His life could be a life, and that is what a person strives for. That's the true striving in man. Halacha is extremely important because for epistemological reasons. That there's in the world of epistemology, there are raging battles as to what the underlying approach to reality is, especially with the advent of modern science. So there are all different views. What is human thought? I mean, are we perceiving reality? Are we creating a reality? Are we in line with reality? What approach is a successful one in terms of uncovering knowledge? All this is tied up with understanding God's thought. And Yadus has an important basis for epistemology. Important basis for epistemology is the halachic system. And we maintain that we can see who God's thoughts in the Torah. And that area is an area, see, in the area of science, it's like the Rambam writes, in the beginning of the Maran of Uchim, so the Rambam writes, why did I write my Sefer? He said, the truth of the matter is that I'm just writing on metaphysics. And a person who studies metaphysics will be able to uncover the ideas without me. He said, but there's only one difference. He says, the problem is, in the sea of metaphysics, you have to be a good swimmer. So a good swimmer will come up with pearls. But one who can't swim properly will drown. So he says, in my Sefer, what I'm trying to do is to prevent the person from drowning and to show him how to bring up the pearls. So the world of God's chachma is vast, and if a person would try to swim in that world, his chances of making it are very, very slim. Chances of drowning are very great. But in Yadus, with the chachma satorah, comes a certain epistemology, a certain way of thought. We have an opportunity in Torah to see God's thoughts. So the same method has to be applied in understanding Chochmas Hashem everywhere, really. So the truth of the matter is that Chochmah in Torah gives a person the way of thinking for every area of life. Because here we have a chance where it's isolated. You're not lost in a sea. The system of halacha is there. You have the postulates. You have the system. If a person learns, I mean, it takes many years. But after many years, a person learns a method of thinking. That method of thinking, if he masters it properly from Torah, he can use it to understand all Chochmas Hashem. And the truth of the matter is that, I mean, we don't have a Rambam today. But if we did have a Rambam today, there is no doubt that he would be able to show how he'd be able to demonstrate to the world the true epistemology of nature, and he'd be able to demonstrate how the method of thinking in Torah should be applied to every area, and be able to show people, be able to show scientists if this method was applied properly, how they would have a greater understanding of their findings than they have today. And the world today, I mean, scientists today are lost in the sea of epistemology. Tremendous problems as to what reality is. There is no doubt that if there was a great chacham today in Torah as well, like a Rambam, as well as in the other sciences, you would be able to demonstrate and to show the proper epistemological approach, because in Torah we have we have an opportunity to view God's thoughts and to see how the proper way, proper method of thinking is. That's what the Rambam mentions. Ruyin hein la dima. At first, before a person becomes a metaphysician, he has to really master the chachmas Hashem in Torah, to be able to understand, to be able to see Reb Chaim, to be able to see the abstraction, the abstract way of thought, the high level of abstraction, and the method of abstraction. Once a person has that, any area he goes into, he can go into it properly. If you don't have that, then a person could be lost. Lost in one of the wild theories of epistemology that people have today. Yes. Now let me ask this question. That's one point. That's the Rambam says one point. The second point the Rambam says is that these things bring into Chayei Olam Haba. What does it mean that these things bring into Chayei Olam Haba? It means that understanding, knowing, and living according to the details of halacha raises a person. Brings him to Chayei Olam Haba means it changes his life, so that his life is constantly a life of chachma. A person walks into a room and he smells coffee brewing, and he knows he has to make a bracha, which bracha to make. Then he's at that moment he's just walking into a kitchen, but at that moment he starts thinking about what the halacha is, and he does an action in conformity with reason. And he takes an activity which is just really a basic animalistic activity, and he converts it into an intellectual performance. The person raises himself through the halachic system to the level of Adam, because he's surrounded and permeated by halacha. See, that's what the Rambam means, that the system of Torah brings him to Chayei Olam Haba. So really, Torah, that's why the Rambam says that Ein Roi L'Tayel B'Pardes Ad She'Yamali Adam Kreiso Mibasa V'Yayim. Because metaphysics is walking in the garden. It is not proper to walk in a garden before you have a good meal. Before your meal, you don't take a little stroll in the garden. First you take care of your basics. Then you're ready to stroll in the garden. And the basics is our halachic system. That's what the Rambam says. Yes? I mean, you have to understand, we're dealing here with the absolute highest level. That's what we're talking about here. So of course it immediately presents a problem, because we are very far away from even the moderate level of chachma. But it shouldn't prevent us from seeing what the absolute level is, because Yadus maintains that just seeing what the absolute level is itself an important perfection. Sula mutzav artzav rosh magia shemaim. A person should be able to see the top of the ladder. So let me just say what it means. Yiras cheto. What Yiras Cheto means that his striving for knowledge is essentially motivated by a striving for finding his place, insofar as human happiness is concerned in the universe. Finding his proper place. No, you don't need a great chacham for that. You don't need a great chacham for that motivation. He's not speaking about it. You're right. He's not speaking about that. That's why it says Yiras Cheto Kodemes L'Chochmaso. It means that this state, this search, this state of searching, where a person's desire for chachma is motivated by is in line with his inherent search for human happiness. You see, that's the motivation. His motivation is closely tied to his desire for happiness, and for avoidance of living a life which is defective. That's Yiras state. That is the source for all chachma. Now a person, what the Chazal are telling us is that if that is the motivation for his chachma, then his chachma so is kayemes, because his chachma is tied to his basic drive. You understand? His basic drive for life. His chachma is tied to his basic drive for life. So therefore, the love of chachma, the more chachma he gets, the more it's tied to his basic nature. Every person has a basic nature where he strives for happiness. Essentially, for his essential happiness. If his desire for chachma is resultant from his striving, his essential nature, which is to strive for human happiness, if it's tied to that, so then the more chachma he gets, The more he loves the Chachma, the more it becomes a true part of his nature. If it's something which is extraneous, it's an extraneous compartment, he's compartmentalized, where he says, okay, now I like to, let me enjoy thinking about the geometric point. You see? So that means it's a separate compartment, but his basic desire for life and for enjoying life is not tied to that. And he goes on, okay, now I'm going with the rest of my life. You see? It's like a compartment. That is not really a person, even though he may enjoy the Chachma Lashma, but it's not tied to his basic survival, to his basic desire to survive and to live properly. If it's not tied to that basic desire, then it's not really, the love of Chachma cannot be very great. You see? That's the pasuk, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. I mean, Reishis, the beginning of Chachma is Yiras Hashem. That's what the pasuk means. Yiras Hashem means that the person has his Chachma is based upon the fact that it's tied intrinsically to his desire to survival, desire to live properly. That's what it means. Point of Benyam. You don't have to be a great Chacham to have that, but from that basis, great Chachma can result. The basis for great Chachma. Great Chachma will unravel upon such a person in a way that every bit of Chachma will cling to him and be a part of his life. If you don't have that basic approach, then the Chachma will remain extraneous. Yes. All I'm saying is that there is an inherent desire in man's life for the good. If his Chachma is tied with that inherent desire for the good, then his Chachma is miskayemes, because the Chachma is a person, it's natural for a person to strive for the good. That's the greatest striving in man. If the striving for Chachma is a part of the striving for the good, then it's impossible that he should forget any of his Chachma, so to speak. It's impossible, because his Chachma is tied to his essential desire. That's the most essential desire in man. It's not tied to his essential desire for the good, which is nobody can avoid. Everybody's desire is for the good. That's inherent in human nature. If it's not tied to that, so it's an extraneous thing. So then it's saying Chachma Samuskayanas, because his desire for the good is in terms of is just to satisfy his emotions. So naturally, he's going to lose the Chachma. It's not going to remain with him. Okay. No, Davrachle. Then it says also, Hu Hayom. Hu Hayom. Kol Shem Masav Merubim Mechachmosa, Chachmosa Meskayemes. Any person whose actions, is a strange member, any person whose actions are more than his knowledge, different thing, his actions are greater, are more than his knowledge. What does that mean? So it says, Chachmosa Meskayemes. Again, same result. That his Chachma will remain with him. The Chol Shechachmasa Meruba Mimasav, and any person whose knowledge is greater than his actions, so ain Chachmasa Meskayamas. So his Chachma will not remain with him. Okay? Now let's take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, Shebizman Shemasav Shel Odom Rabbeinu Yonah. Shebizman Shem. He says, Bizman Shemaisav Shel Odom Meruba Mechachmasav. When a person's actions are, thank you very much. He says, when a person's actions are greater than his. By the way, I just wanted to mention. I mentioned it several times. But it's perhaps important to repeat it. That's why, the reason why the Sefer of the Emorah Nevuchim really, one of the reasons why it's a closed book, and most people don't understand it, is because the term that the Rambam uses of knowledge is misunderstood as the way we understand knowledge today. Because you have to understand the society, we speak in terms of our society. It's our limitation. But when we speak about a knowledgeable person in our society, we mean a person who's a scientist, who has expertise in a particular field. And that's why when people read the Mora and they see the Rambam mentions a person who has knowledge, the knowledgeable person, they think the Rambam is referring to such an individual, like a professor. That's the image that this society causes us to conjure up in our minds when we think of a person who has knowledge. That's not what the Rambam means by knowledge. What the Rambam means by knowledge is a person whose love of knowledge and his knowledge is tied intrinsically to his nature. Not a person who has expertise in a particular field. That's a very important fact to remember when you read through the Mara. The translation can't get you out of that mistake. Translation can't take you out of that error. It's something that you have to understand, and when you read the Rambam's language, that he does not mean knowledge in the modern day sense. He does not mean a knowledgeable person. What people would call a knowledgeable person today is not the knowledgeable person that the Mora refers to. It means that what? That's why the Sefer remains closed, because people don't understand it when they read it, that the Rambam's saying that knowledge is going to lead to perfection. What does that have to do with it? Many people have knowledge and not perfected it. Some of them are, could be people that are harmful, vicious, or showing. That's important. At any rate, now it goes on. Yes. He says, at a time when a person's actions are greater than his chokhmah, so you see, for instance, I mentioned also with regard to David HaMelech. I mean, David, the Gemara says one of the praises of David HaMelech was that when he was a young man, he would debase himself in front of those that had greater chokhmah than him. And the Gemara says that when he was a melech, he was the same way. That even people who had greater chokhmah than him in Torah, he would degrade himself in front of those people. You see, because he wasn't the greatest Talmud Chacham, David HaMelech. But he was the greatest, he was the Mashiach Hashem, because his love of Chachmah spanned his whole life to a greater degree than a person that may even have particular knowledge, greater knowledge than him in the area of Talmud Torah. He may have been greater Poskim than him, and it may have been greater Lamdana than him in specific areas, but not greater than him in his overall totality, in the love of Chachmah. That was the greatness of David HaMelech. He was really the Chacham. Well, now, it's not something, it's not... He would degrade himself because of his love of Halacha. So even though he was a great king, he would degrade himself in order to gain an idea from a particular person who may have had more knowledge than, who had more knowledge in him in a particular, in an area of Halacha, even though that person, in order to get the knowledge from him, would demand that he should degrade himself in front of this person who has greater knowledge than him in Halacha. You see? And he didn't care. That was his greatness. His greatness was why? Because his love of Chachma was really a total picture, was a total part of his nature. That's what Chazal said. That's the type of Chacham Chazal. Type of Chacham that Chazal mean is not really a Chacham. It's not an ostentatious type of Chachma. It's something that's an internal type of Chachma. Not something that can be demonstrated too well. A person can demonstrate his lumbus. A person can demonstrate his bekias. His knowledge of halacha is demonstrable. But this type of Chachma is not demonstrable. It's tied very closely to a person's inner soul, his inner nature. It's not demonstrable. Right. Okay. Yeah. Could be inferred, but not demonstrable. Okay. Now, Bizman Shemash Lord Murma Chachmasa Nimtsa says, look, as a person, when his actions are greater than his Chachmah, so then it comes out that his Taiva for Chachmah, his desire, his Taiva for Chachmah, Rabbeinu Yonah says, is greater than his Chachmah. His desire for Chachmah is greater than his Chachmah. The Nimtsa ki b'chol yom v'yom Yosef Chachmah Chachmasa. And it comes out, Rabbeinu Yonah says, that every day, he will add more chachmah to his chachmah. You see? Which means to say, what Rabbeinu Yonah means, that in uncovering the chachmah of life, since his desire is so great to uncover the chachmah of life, so every day he'll add more chachmah. He will be in a constant... This is an interesting Rabbeinu Yonah. Because you see, people really feel, and especially in the scientific field, that a person reaches his prime and then he sort of reaches a certain plateau and tapers off. That's right. But even among people who remain all their lives in the field, if you take a look, it's very interesting in science that the greatest discoveries are usually made by young people in their 20s, early 20s. Isaac Newton was 19 years old. Einstein was in the early 20s, and most of the great discoveries were made by people in their youth. Usually they make the big breakthrough, and then they just either remain equal level or they taper off. You see? They taper off. So that's why they say in science, they say, finished at 40. That's it. Finished at 40. So if you didn't make it by 40, you're not going to make it anymore. And most people, and even we find even in the area of Chachmas HaTorah, we find that people reach a certain level in Gainus, and that's it, they sort of reach a certain plateau. But what Rabbeinu Yonah says is, here he says differently, he says a person whose taiva for Chachma, his desire for Chachma, is greater than his Chachma, he says, every day he adds more chachma. Every day he gains in terms of chachma. Why? Because a person's nature is such that every time he makes it, if his area of chachma is really in the area of his personal life, so what happens is every time he makes a new discovery with regard to his own nature and with regard to how he's relating to the world of chachma, so he removes a barrier. He removes a barrier which prevents him from seeing Chachma. When he removes that barrier, another vista opens up, another level opens up, and he starts gaining Chachma in that area. Then because his desire for Chachma is so great, he sees another flaw in his character, another barrier. Removes that barrier, he opens up another vista. He's a person who is constantly in a state of excelling, of gaining. He's constantly gaining new knowledge, and his life is changing constantly. All his years constantly is in a state of progress. The progress never ends. In terms of how high a level the human intellect can reach, so a person has his inherent human limitations. And that's why usually a person reaches the peak at an early age. So a man is a great genius. If he makes he rises to the top of his field, and he'll make the breakthrough in his field at a young age, and he's reached his highest point. You're not going to see he's not going to get any higher, because what he did was he actualized his potential. Once you actualize your potential, that's it. The rate of increase, the rate of growth is reduced. A certain rate of growth is very great when you start from zero, but once you reach a certain point, it's like a graph, then it just tapers off, you see? But that's because the field is limited. Since the field is limited, he's reached the highest level, and that's it, he's reached his limits. However, in the area of human life, it doesn't work that way. Because in the area of uncovering Chochmas Hashem, it depends very, very close, it's very closely tied, and it works together with a person's ethical level. And like the Rambam says, that every midah that a person has, that is every improper midah, is a barrier between himself and God. So a person who really has a love for chachma, his chachma is used in his life, in the way he lives, and in uncovering the flaws of his own personality, and understanding how he fails to relate to the world of reality. And every time he uncovers another impediment, so he removes a tremendous block, and then he fills that whole area with chachma. So his whole life is constantly, there's always progress. There's always progress. Very few people live that type of a life. But Rabbeinu Yonah says, that depends upon what his nature is. Ma'isav merubah mechachmaso. We'll soon see what it means. He's going to explain what it means later. Now he's just telling you a result of the phenomenon of ma'isav merubah mechachmaso. He's in a constant state of progress, and the excitement and the enjoyment of the progress never ceases. See, because he's constantly uncovering, and so far as he's a human being, until he reaches the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's always progress. So his life is constantly changing. That's the type of life of the real chacham does not reach an apex. He does not reach a high point and just stay there or taper off. He's constantly moving. Yes. I was just mentioning this, and the question with regard to personality, individual personalities, historic personalities. I mentioned it many times that a person like a Freud, who made great discoveries in psychology, would not fit this description. Because it's impossible to fit this description, as I said before, unless a person's desire for reality is a total one. And Freud's desire for reality was limited to a certain specific area of psychoanalysis. He had no knowledge in the area of philosophy, the other areas of Chochmas Hashem. See, and similarly, a person like Einstein was limited too. The chacham that we're talking about is a chacham like the Rambam. That's a different kind of a chacham. These individuals that do not have the opportunity, did not have the opportunity for chachmas haTorah, are severely limited because they could never really see a total picture. And that's really the bracha. Asher bracha bonim mikol am v'nasa. When a person realizes that, then he can make the bracha of Asher bracha bonim mikol am v'nasa l'manas tarasa. If you don't realize that, then you don't appreciate what Torah is. On the contrary, most people who make the bracha, Asher bracha bonim, they're doing God a favor, keeping the Torah. But if you